All righty. Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me now? 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 Cannot hear me now. Can you hear me now? Hey, Mike. Mike, I'm going to give you something else to think about in a minute. I'm going to point you out, bud. I'm going to do it. All right. Good morning. Good morning. A couple things real quick. Make sure your cell phones are turned off or put into the vibrate position. Don't really turn them off, but you may have your Bible on there, and that's fine. I want to explain something to you. I've got one of those minds that never quits. Do you have some? Are you like that, or do you, your spouse like that? Just never stops. Particularly like right now, Jeff and I have, we've been working pretty hard for a while on our new Christmas series that we're going to begin today, and so we're kind of thinking ahead. And when I get a thought, I mean, I just get a thought. I have to stop and write it down because I'm like you, Mike. I have thoughts, but they don't last very long. And lest it die of loneliness up there, I need to get it out when I got it. You know what I mean? So like this morning, I apologize during the song service. I particularly apologize to the praise team because I know y'all can see me sitting right there on the front row. I wasn't playing on the phone. Y'all had a song that reminded me of a sermon that's coming up in a week or two. And I thought, oh, I need to write that down. And so that's what I was doing. I was making sermon notes ahead. You don't believe me, do you? I really was. And when I get to that note in a week or two, I'm going to say, that's the note I was writing down on Sunday morning. If I can remember it that long. Yeah, that's true too. Well, welcome again to Muhammad Christian Church. We are beginning our Christmas series today. Just hours after gathering with family and friends for turkey, football, and sharing what we're so thankful for, Americans across the country hit shopping centers, malls, and superstores for the busiest shopping weekend of the year. And once again, it was stained by scattered reports of violence and mayhem nationwide. Two men were shot outside a Macy's store at the Hamilton Mall in southern New Jersey, one fatally. In Nevada, a 33-year-old man was shot and killed in Reno, and according to local law enforcement, the shooting was believed to have been over a parking spot at Walmart. In Memphis, Tennessee, another man was reported to have been shot outside the Wolf Chase Galleria. Meanwhile, inside the stores, shoppers could be seen, many recorded and shared on social media. How many of you have been enjoying those? Inside the store, shoppers could be seen punching and kicking each other, using pepper spray, and brawls breaking out. And thus begins the most wonderful time of the year. Gray Thursday, Black Friday, Survival Saturday, leftover deals on Sunday, Cyber Monday. This time of year, it's survival of the fittest. During the Christmas season, we face the decision daily to stay huddled up inside our homes or bravely go to the store. Now, not any specific store, but you know what I mean when I say the store. The store is crowded, filled with the hustle and bustle of people scrambling around. Some take it as a personal challenge to find the best deals and the perfect gifts for their loved ones in the midst of mayhem. Heartwarming Christmas music fills the air while people trample over one another, pushing and shoving to make sure they get the last copy of Frozen on Blu-ray. It seems as a culture we have developed a love-hate relationship with Christmas. For some, the consumerism surrounding Christmas is only the tip of the iceberg. Many enter this most wonderful time of the year with anxiety and trepidation. While Silent Night plays on the radio, truth be known, what better describes how we're feeling would be Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne. Financial strains, family baggage, or a plethora of other issues means that Christmas can feel like anything but peaceful. And yet, that first Christmas brought the announcement of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Sometimes I wonder how we have managed to get Christmas so wrong. It's not the Grinch, it's chaos that has stolen Christmas. And then I realize we've never been very good with this whole peace thing. From the very beginning, God gave Adam and Eve the perfect life. Life that was the very definition of peace. They had a carefree relationship with God, a carefree relationship with each other, and they didn't have to worry about being provided for. Now, if you were at peace with God and you were at peace with everyone around you and you had no worries about where your next meal or paycheck was coming from, wouldn't that make it more peaceful in your life? All of that came with only one stipulation. He asked them not to eat from this one tree, the tree that would destroy the peace they were to enjoy with God and with each other. And they couldn't even do that. Somehow I'm beginning to think perhaps that was a Christmas tree. Now, fast forward a few thousand years. Mankind has not been at peace with God for a long time. But it has always been God's plan to send a Savior, to bring peace to the world, to restore the relationship between God and man, and to teach us to love one another. And by that one thing, He said, the world will know you are my disciples. After 400 years of silence from God, He spoke thunderously in the infant cry in a manger. I've always been amazed that God could have chosen any way He wanted to bring this Savior into the world. But He chose to bring peace in the package of an infant, a baby boy, divinity in a diaper. That decision caught many people off guard. They expected the Messiah's entrance to be grand, warlike, and triumphant. But instead, it was gentle, unassuming, many ways unnoticed, and vulnerable. But it was glorious all the same. It was simple, and yet, oh, so profound. One thing I have come to understand more than anything is how the mood will change in a room when there's a baby present. People's attention shifts. The tone of their voice changes. The volume of their voice decreases. And the words they use are different. How many of you have ever had an adult conversation that started with, "Oh, Gucci, Gucci, Goo"? People will seriously sit and watch a baby sleep for hours. Why? Perhaps in part because that sleeping baby reflects the peace we all long for. Jesus grew from a child to an adolescent to an adult. And all along the way, He experienced all the same struggles that we do. Grief, heartache, disappointment, betrayal, rejection, and so much more. Now, Mike, here's that other thought for you to think about. Ponder this. The awesome God that we spoke of last week. You remember that? The awesome God who controls the universe knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to be me. He knows what it's like to be you. While there may be pandemonium in our lives, as Christians, we should be reflecting on the fact that the Savior of all mankind came to the earth in the most real and peaceful way possible as a baby. We should be celebrating that peace is now here, that chaos can be overcome, and that it is available to all of us through the one born in a manger, Jesus. Our 2016 Christmas series suggests it's time to take Christmas back from the chaos, This Christmas, less is more. Now, this is not going to be a quick fix, and it doesn't mean we won't experience struggle, but this year, instead of getting lost in the chaos, let's allow this peace to be what defines Christmas for us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, and let's commit to making Christmas simple again. As we begin that, I want you to watch this short video. We'll get the room dark for you here. Here we go.
Thank you.
I get to open it. Something very special. Pull on this right here. Pull this one. Yeah.
Thank you, Mom.
How do we do that? How do we make Christmas simple again? I think the answer is found in the first two verses of Romans chapter 12. But let's look at verse 2 first. Verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The first thing we need to do to make Christmas simple again is to change our way of thinking. I'm not suggesting we give everybody a paper clip, but I am suggesting we think about spending less this Christmas. The National Retail Federation forecasts the Christmas season sales for 2016, and this excludes car sales, gasoline, and restaurants, to be as much as $655.8 billion, with a B, dollars. $665.8 billion. Listen carefully. We really don't need the newest, the biggest, the trendiest, and the best of everything. That's the world's way. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change the way you think about Christmas. Here's a simple rule of thumb when buying gifts for Christmas. Whether it's for your spouse, your children, your relatives, your co-workers, your friends, your neighbors, here's a rule of thumb. If they don't love it or use it, you're just giving them clutter. Now hold on, here's a disclaimer. Grandchildren are excluded. Can I get an amen, Jim Hampton? Grandpa? If your gift is going into a drawer, a closet, or the garage, never to be seen or heard from again, you're just giving them clutter. If your gift is going to be hidden on an already crowded and dusty shelf, stored in the shed, lost in the abyss of the basement, or put in the next garage sale, you're just giving them clutter. If your gift is going to be re-gifted, donated or consigned, you're just giving them clutter. If they won't remember what you got them for Christmas 3 months from now, or if they can't find what you gave them for Christmas 3 months from now, you're just giving them clutter. So this year, remember our rule of thumb. If they don't love it or use it, you're just giving them clutter. We need to stop thinking like the world. We need to change our way of thinking. And to do that, we need to change our perspective. Now, look at verse 1. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. This Christmas, look at your giving from the perspective of what God has done for you. Let your gifts reflect godly thoughtfulness. In view of God's mercy. Verse 1 describes our giving as an offering, a presenting of ourselves. God so loved the world, He gave what? Himself. Let your gift say to those you give to, I'm giving you a part of myself. Verse 1 says, give of yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. If you give from that perspective this Christmas, you will give less. But you will find that less really is more. Perhaps nothing illustrates the less is more mindset than the new trend of the tiny house movement. Bolstered by HGTV, this trend to tiny house living is taking hold for many reasons. The most popular being financial concerns, escaping the cycle of debt in which almost 70% of Americans are trapped, and the desire for more time and freedom. In preparing for this drastic change in their lifestyles, tiny homeowners are faced with rethinking what things are necessary. Their demand to downsize is teaching them to remove, to improve. To remove the clutter, to remove the stuff, to remove the things, to improve their financial situation, to improve their freedom to do and go places that they really want to and yet couldn't if they were in other situations. Remove to improve. That's some pretty good advice. And it's a good place to start if we want to make Christmas simple again. Now, to help with that, here are some practical ideas to consider this Christmas. Number one, instead of buying for everybody, draw names. You may have a few unique people you need to buy for, maybe your coworkers or special lifelong friends. But put the names of the adult family members into a hat or a box or something and draw names. And that should include the teens in the family as well, because you don't know how to shop for teens anymore anyway. And then set a reasonable dollar amount for each gift. What's reasonable for your family is up to you. Now, I understand you may have to help the kids with some money to even get that done. But believe me, the money you spend buying one gift and helping the kids with theirs will still be a lot less than what you usually spend totally at Christmas. And for a real family Christmas, get the family together and give some prayer and thought to one or several of these ideas. Serve at a community charity. For example, pitch in and help deliver food baskets with our local police department. Mark Lundquist helps with that, and he tells me this year it's December 21st. Where are you, Mark? December 21st. What time? Meet at the police department? Huh? 9 o'clock. Now, many of you have been doing that in the past. I've done that in the past. But that's a great thing. Get kids together. Let's go get some baskets and deliver them to people. The police department does a fantastic job getting together wonderful baskets of food. And every once in a while, if they're kids, we know in the family, a toy or two, right? Get together and just help do that. It was really neat when we started helping with that. Several people showed up with their van because the first two seats were, or two roses each were filled up with family. But that's a wonderful idea. Just help deliver some food baskets with the police department. Go down to Salt and Light and help serve some food as a family. But serve at a community charity. You may know of others. And then think about doing something for those serving our country and who are away from home. Write them. Send them a Christmas card. And don't forget their family who's still here at home. Send them a present or pictures. But think about doing something for those serving our country and away from home. Likewise, do something for those who are working on Christmas Day and will be away from their families. Some people do have to work that day, you know. I'm thinking about the police, the fire department, hospital personnel, other emergency care, and unfortunately, one or two restaurants will be open that day. Do something for them. While you're out that afternoon or early that evening, go by and leave them some cookies or something. Valentine's Day, Barbie and I went down, or Valentine week, Barbie and I went down to the cancer center at Carl, because the ladies there who had done all that radiation stuff with us were the most incredible people in the world. And I pretty much believe most people, not all, but most people, get through the treatment, say thank you, ring the bell, and that's it. Never see them again. But Valentine's, we got one of those big chocolate boxes. I mean, the great big ones, you know, that go on sale. Hey, I'm good, but I'm cheap. Spending less. Got one of those big boxes that had just been marked down of all those variety of chocolates, and we took it down and gave it to that whole department. Said, guys, we just want to say how sweet you are and thank you for what you've done to our life. And that wasn't any big deal to me. But they really appreciate it. Do something like that for Christmas to those who won't be able to be at home with their family that day. Big project for your family. Pick out a family or someone in need or family less fortunate and shop and buy for them. Groceries for the table as well as presents for under the tree. Let the kids help you in wrapping the presents. Take the kids with you to deliver it. Let the kids offer suggestions on food and gifts for the various family members. But perhaps most importantly, as we want to shift from chaos to simplicity, you seize as many opportunities as you can to worship as a family this Christmas. Certainly put Christmas Eve worship on your calendar. No matter where you are on Christmas Day, plan on attending church. Christmas is on Sunday this year. Yes, we are having church on Christmas Sunday. However, we are going to dismiss Sunday school and ABF. But you be here with your family or wherever you are on Christmas Day, you go to worship. Go caroling with the choir. Or just go caroling with your family. Visit a nursing home or an assisted living facility. Take some cookies with you for the staff and leave a bunch of them on the table there in the community area for the residents. And while you're there, just sing. It doesn't even have to be pretty. Just sing. And for each one of these opportunities to worship, invite a friend or a neighbor or a co-worker to worship with you. Because I'm convinced the more that worship is on our lips and in our hearts, the less chaos of the world will have room. Look at our passage again. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, yourselves, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I think you will find in God's good, pleasing, and perfect will, that less is more. Let's make Christmas simple again. Let's take the chaos out of the equation. But that starts with those two things. Change the way you think about Christmas. And look at things from God's view. That begins not by thinking of Christmas, but by thinking of yourself. Am I living my life just like the world does? Or am I living it in view of God's mercy? You see, God chose to save those whom He was under no obligation to save. He did it because He loved us. And in view of that, how am I living my life? Like the world? I like the way the J.B. Phillips translation of the New Testament says that. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Change the way you think. In view of what He's done for me, maybe I need to think about giving my life back to Him. In surrender of repentance and Christian baptism, wash the sin away, rise, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and start thinking from His point of view. Let's make Christmas simple again. Father God, this whole Christmas idea from the very beginning, as glorious and as magnificent as it was, and as filled with the overwhelming, I don't know what words to describe it with, of angels appearing and stars appearing and people being amazed and marveling. And yet in the midst of that, it was so simple. A pregnant lady and her husband were going to go back to his hometown where he had to be registered for the census. While they were there, there wasn't even a place for them to stay. And so they wound up out there in a stable. And the Son of God was born. She wrapped Him in swaddling clothes. And she laid Him in a manger. And the angels announced, in the city of David is born this day a Savior. And that would be good news for all men. The angel left them with the salutation of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas was. How we got to where it is today, I don't really know. But I do know that it's time to stop. It's time to stop the chaos and take Christmas back again. To make Christmas simple. Love God, love each other, and let You work and live through us. Let the gifts we give be reflective of the gift You gave. And may the desires of our hearts be simply to please You. In Jesus' name, amen.